Welcome to the Lucid Ess podcast, where I explore everything, because I believe in the infinite, unbounded potential within each of us. This is Shelley, a fellow seeker and a lover of life's mysteries. I invite you to join me and explore your uncharted depths.
I'd like to begin by telling you what this is about. And the answer is, I don't know. And that's because this phrase, these three words, have been very powerful in my life over the last couple of months. I don't know. And in a world where we're supposed to know all kinds of things and be able to intuit all kinds of things and even follow that deep knowing inside of us, which I talk about plenty of times, I have been in the very powerful place of I don't know. And what I found by following this I don't know is that it's leading me to places where I did not know how to go. Maybe places I didn't believe in. Helping me see things I couldn't see before. It's also been helping me dissolve old constructs that no longer serve me. So what this episode is about, I don't know, quite literally. And to prove that point, I'll tell you exactly what's going on. I'm sitting on the floor, it's early afternoon, and I just got some news that I didn't appreciate very much. And I don't know what to do about it, and it's very upsetting to me. And so I've been sitting on the floor just trying to hash out all the different sides. You know, my perspective, there's a number of people involved, and so just all the different perspectives. And I don't know. I still don't know, even after going through, you know, different iterations and different perspective taking and trying on different shoes. And what I've realized is there's not a right or wrong answer here, which is so true in so many situations, but you know, everybody's got to have their right and wrong. And so, there just isn't one. There just isn't one. Like, decisions will be made and then outcomes will happen. So as I was sitting here, just like, I don't know what to do. The one message that came through clearly was, I'm stuck. I'm stuck and I'm emotionally stuck. And those were the words. And my response when I heard that was, I literally said out loud, well, that's terrible because I don't know how to be unstuck emotionally. So when I have energy in my physical body, it's quite easy for me to physically move it in some way, whether that's through hiking or exercise or yoga. And I'm able to move the energy through my physical body. I'm very, very good at that. And I'm pretty good at moving the energy through my mind, through my meditation and whatnot. That would come in second place, but I would say dead last. Third place is my emotional body. Like, when my emotions are stuck, man, they are stuck. And they're stuck. They're stuck right now. I can feel myself getting emotional as I'm even speaking about it. But I decided to do this podcast because I so very much want the emotions to move. And so I'm going to do what I tell other people to do when they come to me and ask for help. And I say, if you speak it, you break the spell. So I ask them just to speak from their heart. Just speak the words aloud that they haven't been able to say or been wanting to say. So that's what I'm going to do here, in the hopes of speaking and breaking my own spell over whatever this emotional block is. And it's funny because as I was sitting on the floor, I happened to pull out this journal that I use sometimes. And it's not like a daily journal. And I just flipped to the last page I had written on, and it was on March 4th. And it was from when I went to a meeting at the Rape Recovery Center, and it was a group meeting, and they gave us two prompts. And the first one, what are your hopes for healing? So on the left page of the journal, I had written out all these beautiful hopes for my healing. And then on the right hand side of the journal, on the right page, they asked, what are your fears for healing? And I wrote out my fears through this healing process. And as I was sitting on the floor here today, it's about a month later, I realized that as I was reading these, I thought, oh, my fears for healing are like present. They are kind of what I'm dealing with in this moment. So I'm going to tell you the exact situation, even though I'm like kind of ashamed to share it, but I'm just going to speak it. So one of the things I'm working on right now, and I haven't shared it because I haven't been ready. It's been too small and too fragile in my own being to share, but it's strong enough now and it's pretty firm. And I've had a home, but it's been rented. And so for about 5 years, I've been homeless, literally just sleeping in my car, in different offices, in people's closets, you know, just everywhere and anywhere. So 5 years, just a lot of fumbling around. And a couple of months ago, I realized it's time for me to sell the home that I currently own that I'm not able to live in. That's a long story. And I don't know. I haven't thought that I could live in the home that I own right now, but maybe I can. And maybe there's more healing that's going to happen there. If that's the case, then I've kind of made an interesting sort of complex situation of this, because I have listed the home and I received many offers and accepted one and have a backup offer. And we were going through that process until the inspection was done and they said, oh, there's this like big crack in the foundation and the house is like unstable and it looks like, you know, the crack has been, you know, there's some kind of repair that's been done. And when I was told this, I thought, well, that's really bizarre, because the couple that sold me the house, they didn't disclose that. And they seemed like they were a lovely couple. I met them. And then when I had the home inspected, nobody said anything to me about it. And I know in the time I've owned the home, I haven't done anything to it. And so I just thought, I don't know, that kind of just doesn't make sense. But we went through with another inspection. The foundation company came in and looked and said, oh, actually, no, that's not. It's not what he thought it was. And they said, but there is some settling due to the gutters not properly moving the water away from the house. It's very minor. It's not a serious issue, but, you know, you'd want to have it looked at. So the people buying the home said, okay, we'd like to get gutters, you know, will you replace the gutters? And I said, yes, okay, let's replace the gutters. And it was going to be like maybe $2,000. So a couple of days go by and then I'm told, actually, it's not $2,000. It's closer to $8,000, because when the gutter company came, they said, well, it needs new gutters, but there's also this siding here that needs to be replaced. And there's these trees that need to be cut back. And that's what just happened today. And that's what really upset me. Because then I went, okay, wait, like this, first of all, the foundation, what I was told, you know, the whole foundation issue isn't really an issue. You know, we do have some water issues that we need to get away from the house, so it doesn't become an issue. But instead of just being gutters, now we have siding and we have trees. And I thought, that doesn't seem fair that I should just suddenly cover all that. And so I said, okay, why don't I cover half? So that was taken back to the buyers, and the buyer said, no, we want you to pay 3/4, and we'll pay a fourth. And I said, no. Okay, so what I want you to know is, you know, we're talking like probably less than $2,000. So it's, in the whole scheme, it's $2,000 is a lot of money. But in the whole scheme of things, you know, when you're talking about buying and selling an entire home, it's a tiny percentage of what we're actually dealing with. And so I've been sitting here on the floor going, okay, it's probably not about the money, even though the money matters. It's something else. Because what I said to my realtor, I said, well, let's just go sell it to the second offer because it's about the same. And I realized I didn't want to work with these people anymore because I didn't feel like they were being fair. So I was like, well, let's just be done with these people and let's go to the second offer. It's about the same. And I just, you know, I'm kind of tired of this first one. So I've been sitting here trying to figure out what is it that really is the root of this issue. Because as I said, like when you're buying a home, $2,000 is such a minimal amount of the whole thing. And the words that come are fair. I don't feel like it's fair, that I should suddenly be taking care of this. What was initially thought was an issue wasn't an issue. And then what was going to be fixed, the gutters, a small cost, suddenly grew into, you know, almost four times what it was supposed to be so they could get siding and trees done. And so fair. And I can kind of dissolve that down to trust. I'm not sure if I trust the buyers anymore. I feel like they took an interesting situation that didn't turn out to even be true, and now they want to like get the most out of it, so to speak. And of course that feels very, again, I'm like just trying to discover this in this moment as I'm speaking, but it feels, I just don't know if I trust them anymore. That they're not just asking for what would be fair to fix, you know, any kind of settling issues with the gutters. So trust. That's definitely a word that's coming up. And then the second one that's coming up is fear. Kind of the other route I would say that I've been able to get to, and fear of, are they just going to keep asking for things? Are they actually going to go through with it? Am I being taken advantage of? Am I being smart about this? And of course, as a single woman, it's always trying to make these decisions on my own, even though I can go to other people. But not having that partnership, again, that really is just so exhausting in a way. And I know it can be exhausting in a partnership as well. So, you know, the ups and downs of both sides. But the fear of making the wrong decision, right? And again, it's like, there isn't really a wrong decision here. Like there's so many sides, so many ways to look at it. Like the buyers are going to see this one way. I see it one way. You know, we have two real estate agents. I'm sure they each have their own perspective about it. You know, there isn't really a right and wrong here. There's just sort of the gray area where each of us are going to try to do what we feel is best, might be what's best for us, might be what's best for everyone. I'm trying to find that place where it's best for everyone, where it's fair. Like what is fair in this situation? And I've been trying to find that myself. Like, okay, so here is a house, doesn't have foundation issues, but it's got some water issues that could cause settling, and that does need to be resolved. So is it my job to fix absolutely everything so it's like perfect? Meaning gutter, siding, trees, like everything, and that's how I should leave it. But not knowing about it, you know, is there some play where, well, it's kind of like, since it wasn't known, do we both get some responsibility? Since you're getting a brand new whatever. And my mind can tell me a lot of stories, and it has, and I really appreciate my mind. It's very, very good at showing me different perspectives, and so appreciate that. And then when I go to my heart, it keeps saying, is it fair? Is this fair? And that has kind of thrown me off, because I like to think that I'm an open-hearted, generous person. And the fact that my heart just isn't saying, you should just give it to them, is causing, again, this is where I'm like, is that because it really isn't fair? Setting the money aside, just sort of like energetically, is it fair to share this in some way, half and half, or maybe the whole 75-25 is a fair share, those percentages? I don't know. But I am just wanting to understand what sort of gripped me when I found out this information. And just looking at the fears involved in this moment, where the fear of making the wrong decision and having the whole thing fall through, that's very real. Feels like failure. The fear of making the wrong decision and just totally being taken advantage of. And that just feels really, it feels painful in my body, like literally painful. It's been a big part of my healing process, has been standing up for myself and in situations and saying that is not fair. Literally reporting my rape was the beginning of saying that is not fair. But there have been others along the way saying that is not fair, and that I get to choose. That the way I see life is not wrong, it's not right, but it's valid and it's mine. And I can stand up and say, I don't think that's fair, which is what I'm doing right now with my house. No decision has been made. I've said I'm not going to make a decision today. I've told them I'll get back to them tomorrow, because I wanted time to try to figure out why I had such a big response to this. Because like I said, I can parse it out, and it's not about the money. I mean, the money represents part of it, but really, as I said, it's more about trust and about fear. Do I trust you? Why do I trust you to be fair with me? Are you being fair with me? Do I trust myself? That's been a big one. I've been sitting here asking myself, am I a fair person? Do I trust myself to be fair? And then also just looking at the fear. And I mentioned a little bit earlier when I was sitting on the floor and I pulled out that journal. So I'm going to read a few of the things it says on the right side, my fears of healing. Because as I read that, I thought, oh, those are some of the things, that are coming up right now in this whole home process. And one of the fears I have in healing is that I'll always be afraid, and I'll always feel broken. I'll never be enough. And people will see me as damaged and tainted and scarred, and that this will never end. And I mean, this process with the home is all happened really fast, actually, so it's not like it's prolonged in any way. But because I already carry these fears, I've just placed these fears on this situation. I spoke about that in a previous podcast when I was talking about my live wires of fear. And here it is, right? I have these fears in me, and now I'm in this situation, and so I've just overlaid my fears on the situation. And I think that's the most powerful thing, it's like Pema Chodron. I love her quote, nothing ever goes away until it teaches you everything you need to know. I mean, I could just tattoo that everywhere. Nothing ever goes away until it teaches you all you need to know. So here I am, a month after writing these fears, and they're right front and center right here. I don't really know what to say. I didn't expect to have any answers. Like I said, I'm calling this the I Don't Know podcast. And the only reason I share this for two reasons. One is because I needed to speak it out loud. I needed to break the spell. And hopefully throughout the next 24 hours, you know, this emotional block is released and the emotions start, whatever emotions, you know, I'm willing to feel and experience and transform whatever emotions need to be felt, whether that's fear or grief or pain or doubt or whatever, in order to move through this and step forward and try to make the best decision I can at this time. Again, I don't know that there's a right or wrong. I'm just going to try to make the best decision I can. But the other reason I share this, and I hadn't thought of this till just now, I was listening to a podcast this morning, and there was this gentleman, I can't remember his name, who was being interviewed. He's an author. He's written some very famous books, and he was talking about he didn't publish his first book till he was 52. And it was basically just like a failure for 52 years. Like he just kept writing stuff and nothing would get published. And through part of the interview, he was just going through and telling his story. And I was, you know, just how things were not working. He hadn't even gotten to 52 yet. It was just going through the decades of like all of his trying and failing and trying and failing and trying and failing. And he didn't really have any answers. And then kind of partway through, as he was telling the story, he paused and he asked the interviewer, the host, he said, am I boring you? Is this too much? Is this too long? And the interviewer was like, no, I'm loving what you're sharing. And in that moment, I said to myself, oh no, like I am loving what he's sharing, not because he has any answers. I just love hearing about his story. I love hearing about his process. I love hearing about what he went through to get where he is today. And that's, again, as I've said before, that's kind of where I feel like the power I have right now is in sharing my process that doesn't have any clear answers, that has lots of variables and moving pieces and just the messy muddiness, which I think is just freaking life, right? I don't expect that I no longer expect to get somewhere where I know more than I know today. I'll just know different things. I'll just know different things. So I'm going to take a quick second and just see if I don't know that there's anything more I need to share other than, I guess at this point, there's just like this grief and this pain. Couldn't tell you what it is or why it is, but I'll just let that come up throughout the day, and I'm sure there'll be other emotions that come up. And then just also touching base one more time on just the very real sharing of this little nest I've been holding, which is to live in a home again, to live in my home. And it's been a long, long time coming. I realize I haven't felt home since my rape, which was almost 15 years ago. Maybe it was 15. I can't quite remember. And I've worked really hard, and it was a few years ago, I think 3 years ago, where I had a ceremony and I truly came home to my body, in my body. And that was an incredibly powerful thing. And I think that was the year before I reported the rape. So I came home to my body. And now I want to put my body at home in an actual physical home. So there are many different ways where we can be at home. We can be at home within ourselves. We can be at home in a physical structure. We can be at home on the earth. It's interesting to me that I learn to be at home with myself on this earth before I have actually come home to four walls, a door, windows, and whatnot. And I would say there are going to be, I feel like there are still some really big healing moments for me when I actually live in my home again. And it's likely that I'll have renters with me, and so I'll get to have those intimate relationships where you live with people, and I actually really look forward to that. I feel like there are some amazing people out there. I don't know, one or two people that will live with me that we're just really going to enjoy sharing the space that we call home and creating a home. So there you go. This is my I Don't Know podcast, where I reveal that I do not know so many things. And the next steps on my journey. So love to you all. And so many blessings. And a little shout out to water. To the spring rains. And all the blessings that water brings into our lives.
Thank you for exploring with me on the Lucidess podcast. It is my hope that you discovered new wisdom within yourself and are inspired to live your unique strokes of genius.